we're all in a lot of things. We're all in with our phones and our social media. That's how we get a lot of our news, a lot of our fake news, a lot of everything, right? But we're all in a lot of things in life, but are we all in what God wants us to be and what we're, what He has set aside for us? So this morning we're going to start off in Revelation 3. There's a couple that we'll bounce through verses, but I'll have them on the screen this morning. And Jesus's close friend and disciple John is exiled on the island of Patmos, and Jesus comes to him in a vision and tells him to write down everything that he sees, and thus we get the book of Revelation. But in Revelation 3, he is presenting his assessment at the church of Laodicea. So Revelation 3, 14 through 16 starts off, says, "And the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." And we're talking, this is Jesus saying these things. He's establishing who he is. "I know your works," is what he's telling the church, "and that you are neither hot nor cold. I could wish you were not. I could wish you were hot or cold. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." And that's really, that's kind of a nasty part, but that's what the scripture says. That it sickens Jesus for us to not pretty much be all in, to ride that fence, to be neither hot nor cold. Now, I'm not saying that anybody in here is hot or cold or lukewarm. This is what the current church, the current situation with the church is. Not this church. We're the church. Not this building. Not this, just this group. It's Southern Baptist. It's the Pentecostals. It's all of us across the world. It's the way we have come to operate. I've heard people say that they want to see change they can believe in, right? And we do that at political times. We want our candidate to make those changes. We want to see that, something tangible that we want to see. We see it in life. We see it at school. We see it at church. Change we can believe in. You say, "I believe in God." Well, you know, God believes in you too. He formed you. He knew you before you were ever born. He knew what you would be, who you would be, what you would be, how you would act, how you would follow Him, how you would serve Him. That's kind of scary, right, when we think about it. He knew me a long time ago. He knew I was going to mess up. He knew I was going to sin. He knew I was going to do this stupid thing. He knew I would have this moment in time when He would just shake His head at me. Why did He even let me be born, right? Ever thought about that? But He believes in us. And whenever you confess your sins and are born again, that's when He wants to believe in you the most. Scripture tells us that it sickens God whenever we can't make up our minds or we're on the fence spiritually. Do you serve God? Do you have a part-time salvation? What does your life look like? I want you to think about it. Certain times of the year, the roads would be littered with squirrels, right? That's the most indecisive animal in the world, is a squirrel. I've got to where when I pass one, if he's running across the road one way or the other, I look in my mirror to see if he made it or not. You know, you kind of just pray, "Lord, please let him make it. Let him make one solid decision. I'm going that way." But, you know, do we have that part-time salvation? Can we make up our mind? What does your life look like? Are you on the fence with something? It don't have to be church. It can be life. You either make your mind up to do it or you don't. When we were going to the mission field, I had prayed and prayed and prayed and went to a men's banquet. And, you know, I want the billboard. I want that sign that says, "This is what I want you to do, son. Go here and do this great thing. love God. I want that billboard. I want that resolution. But Brother John Henry told me, he said, son, how's things going? I said, well, we're progressing. I'm about there. He said, what do you mean you're progressing? You were there 3 months ago. Quit looking for more signs. God's called you to do what he wants you to do. And he told me, he said, quit being lukewarm. Either say no and grow cold, or say yes and light on fire. So, you know, has your desire for him grown cold? Has it, or is it fired up? There's 17 folks that came back from Peru. It's pretty fired up. They are, and they're still fired up because we have had event after event after event to keep that fire burning. Because what happens is as we progress in our Christian walk, post-mission project, post-baptism, over the years that burn, that fire that lit us up to follow him burns out. But it begins with genuine repentance. When we've changed, you know, have you changed since you were saved? If you're just recently saved, can others see a change in you? I've told the youth group a few times, when I left work on Friday, I was lost and just acting a fool with the rest of the lost. Sunday morning came, and Jesus got a hold of me, and I was baptized that evening. And Monday morning, I was different, to the point that my boss, my supervisor, my mentor, he's like, son, what happened to you this weekend? And I said, I got saved and baptized. And he said, I could tell, because you're different. Later, if there was a mission project to come up, something to do here at the church, because it was right here in that little pool that I got baptized, and about that much water, because it leaked. And I wanted to, you know, if there was something that I wanted to do, they yielded their vacation time. These are guys with years of experience over me, and they picked their vacations first because we picked it a year in advance. If something happened, then he was like, I'll yield my time to you. The whole group yielded their time to me. One salvation, one change, one person going all in changed the whole work group. It affected 23 other folks. It's just amazing how that one little drop made that ripple effect through the whole group. There's a life fact that says change is inevitable. You know, we're going to change whether we want to or not. If you don't believe me, pull out your phone and look at last summer's pictures of you. I mean, I've changed. My grandbaby's changed in the 5 months he's been here, big time. But I've changed. I'm a little fatter. I'm a little grayer. Some of y'all have helped put that there. Some of you have helped put the fat there too, like a good dinner on the grounds. But things change even though we don't want them to. You know, some changes are for the better, some are not. Some grow hot with Christ, but some cool off and go from lukewarm to pure cold. We have to be aware that change will occur and make conscious decisions to continue to grow hotter and closer to God, because when we're hot and on fire for Jesus, then we're so close. And you can feel it. You can feel it. Because that's where he wants you. He wants you to walk in that light. He wants you to walk in his presence. And he wants us to be there forever. And you know, if we claim to have accepted Christ your Savior and you continue to be substantially what you've always been, then you're kidding yourself. if you are still acting this way pre-accepting Jesus, then you're kidding yourself, because God is going to change. The gospel is change. Jesus is change. If you catch on to this gospel, it will change you forever. There's nothing in the world that's any better. There's nothing, no such thing as a lukewarm Christian. You're either on the fence or being on the fence. You're either all in with God or you're against Him. Satan was against Him. And the Bible talks about Jesus saying that He watched Satan fall from heaven like a streak of lightning. He wasn't all in. He was all in to the part that he wanted to be God. I have no desire to be God. I have no desire to be perfect. I like my imperfect self. So how do I know if I'm on the fence? If I'm on the fence or if I'm all in? How do I know that? So first we look at conviction, and in Acts 24, Paul is in prison and he's talking to Felix multiple times about Jesus. And Felix has a good understanding of Christianity because Paul's a really good orator. He's explaining how things are. And in Acts 24:25, it says that Paul talked or reasoned with righteousness, self-control, and with the judgment to come. Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." So Felix was on the fence, I think. Or was he just afraid of what giving up everything that he had for Christ was going to entail? A lot of us have a hard time giving up that thing because we feel convicted of it. When he called us to the mission field, and I've told y'all this a million times, we sold everything we had. Our house we had built, the dreams that we had, he changed those. He sold everything we had, for sale by owner. And the last thing I had to go, the person I'd never figured would ever buy anything from me or could afford it, bought it. And God made a way for it. So, you know, we can be like Felix. Was he on the fence? Was he afraid? Either way, he was not convinced of the gospel. You know, at times I think how my life would have been if I hadn't have accepted that call. We all get that call when we're saved. We all get a call to be what He wants us to be. So, second, are you participating or are you a spectator? I like spectator sports. I burned up at a Shuckers game probably a month ago. It was hot, but it was worth it, sitting there with the grandbaby, watching the ball game, or watching them play batting practice, because wasn't much of a game. But, you know, attending, being a spectator of something, not being a noticeable part. There's nothing I can do except for cover whenever the ball comes my way from a foul. But at the same time, when we're sitting, are we sitting in church or are we out and actually doing? Are we moving? Are we shaking the kingdom? Today's church has a lot of spectators. I found an article put out in the Baptist Press that said that 20% of the people do 80% of the work in the church. Sometimes it isn't that high. Some churches, it's 10% does 80% of the work. That participating includes helping with outreach ministries, providing food, kids and youth opportunities, tithing our 10%, along with maybe even a little extra for outreach opportunities that we have. And we do have outreach opportunities. But if you're like me, money is tight, time is tight. Gosh, how did we get to that point where time consumes us? Some people, though, you know, I told Felicia a while back, I said, it's amazing to sit there and go, we need to do this, but at the same time, we don't have time to do this. I'd love to just take off and go. I told Brother Larry and Brother Ernie this morning, we're going to take a few days and go. But it was planned months ago. We stay busy. We do. Church is busy. There's stuff that's steady going on here. Lives are busy. Ball games. All that stuff is starting up. School. And then you have prom. You have grandkids coming. And you have this and that going on. And we stay so busy and consumed. And we carve out enough time on Sunday mornings to come to church. But are we sitting or are we doing? Do we just come here to sit and enjoy the air conditioner? Or are we actually making movement, making that ripple of Christ go out into the community? Francis Chan says that God doesn't call us to be comfortable. He calls us to trust Him so completely that we are unafraid to put ourselves in situations where we will be in trouble if He doesn't come through. That's tithing, y'all. I've been at the point where I didn't have $100 to pay my tithe. If I did, I'd be overdrawn. And the Luces would be getting more money from me because I was overdrawn. Or I didn't have money for a mission trip. And I'd go to the mailbox and I would find a check because I cut the check to the church. Too many times, when Felicia went on her first mission trip after I had already been on mine and I had been on her for a year, we didn't know how we was going to pay for that. For those of y'all that just went, think about paying for two. The two's expensive. But there was phone calls made in the middle of the night or text messages received. Hey, I just put something in your box. You probably want to go to the mailbox because where I lived, people would, at that time, kids were knocking mailboxes off post. Don't do that, by the way. It's a federal offense, but it cost a lot. And there'd be a check. Little by little, that mission trip was paid for. We've never starved to death for doing something for Christ. We need to acknowledge our need for Jesus because we all need Him. Being in, all in, requires that we confess our need to Jesus and quit standing or straddling on the fence. Limit our distractions and be intentional in sharing the gospel. There's no plan B. Jesus didn't have any plan B. His intention was for His people to tell others about Him. And the others are us, every one of us, about His Son, whom He is so proud. Be intentional with sharing the gospel. There is only one way to God in eternity, and that's through a relationship with His Son. There's a Latin proverb that I found that says, through indecision, opportunity is often lost. And there's a lot of truth in that because, you know, that could be opportunity for growth. It could be opportunity for fellowship. It could be an opportunity for service and reward. I don't know what kind of reward. I don't need much. I'll get my rewards in heaven, just like every one of us will when we get there and we're judged by Jesus for how we lived our life, how we shared His Word. When we are all in with God, off the fence and hot as a firecracker, we can hear and accept God's personal call in each of our life because we all have that call. It may be something so menial, but it may be something so grand. Change is inevitable, for sure, as God will guide and direct our life. A friend of mine always said that He bumps and keeps us, when we veer off track, He keeps us bumped back in place. And there's a lot of truth in that. We fall on our face. We we do something we shouldn't do, we fall, and you know, everybody is like, oh, that's gloom and doom. But you look to Jesus and it's like, and Lord, I'm so sorry I did that. And you mean it with all your heart, and he's like, it's okay, I got you. It's that walk, that change. 3 years after I accepted Christ, I journeyed into missions and since have traveled around the world to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And I've read my Bible a lot, but the thing is it didn't come alive for me until I put it into motion. The book of Acts didn't come alive until I did it, until I could see what Paul was talking about. Because until, it doesn't matter if it's a job or if it's church or if it's standing up here, singing, preaching, leading a Bible study, going on a mission trip. It doesn't matter. New job. Until you've put your hand to it and you've done it, there's no greater reward. It doesn't come alive to you. When I stood in that little courtyard in that Brazilian suburb, and he told me, he said, I want you to pull all this greenery, all these vines, a little like an ivy vine in places, and he said, I want you to pull all these vines off, we're going to paint that wall and we're going to fix it. And when I touched it, y'all, the whole wall just closed up. I stood there and I looked at it, because first thing I thought was it was a spider. Me don't like spiders. And in a moment, it opened back up. And when you touch it, I don't know what the name of the plant is, but when you touch it, it closes instantly to protect itself. And I told him, I said, that wall's live and I'm not moving it. Mm-mm. I said, if I do that, it's the same as shooting a dog. That's God's creation. I need to leave that there. And we did. It's still there. That was in 2006. Ernie Ray and Boo was with me. But it came alive. Creation came alive in that moment. As we ministered in that town, and as we minister here in Loosedale and in Mobile and our surrounding area, as I minister in my district that I work in, it's being the hands and feet. It's that journey. It's sharing the gospel. It's seeing the book of Acts, it's seeing Paul's life come to life in me. And I want that same experience for you. I was changed again whenever God redirected us to go. So life is full of change. When we are on God's side, we will always choose Jesus over and over again. We will take that biblical stand, and that's something that needs to be done across the nation. We will treasure the giver over the gift through our tithe and offerings and the furtherance of God's kingdom. And when we feel his presence in our life, I want God to believe in me. I want him to say, well done. That's the goal, right? Is to get to heaven and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Not, you did all right. I want him to know that he can call on me at the drop of a hat. He can call on me and I'll answer. And say, here I am, Lord, send me. I want to be on fire. I want to be all in with God's plan for my life, my family's life. What he wants from us. And I want the same thing for you. You should want the same thing for you. You should want to be alive in Jesus. I'm his child living in a lost world right alongside you. I mess up just as much as you do. We all do. But it doesn't matter, because through forgiveness and mercy and grace, we're his. Change is inevitable. People should see that change in us, and it be constant. Not just when we're around church folk. Not just when we're walking down the aisle at Walmart. I'll tell you, I'm the world's worst. If I see somebody I might not want to talk to, I'll turn and go back out the other end of the aisle. I could look at that two different ways. He's stuck up and snobby. Or maybe he's just trying to keep his thoughts on heaven. That change. It's inevitable. And it's I want to be on fire. I want to model that righteousness, that love, that encouragement. Romans 12:2 says that, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the only way we can do that is by going all in with Him, by giving our life, prison ministries, children's ministries, Peru, Brazil, Loosedale. Why we got to go somewhere? It's great. They need Jesus too. Who else will tell them if we don't go? Who else will get, we've got to get off our can and get into the community. Bexley, right here. Part of that RISE training this week, I got a demographic, 3-mile radius from Bexley Church. I've got to go through it. It's 17 pages long. It talks about everything. Who's here, what they believe in, what they're doing, what their kids are doing. Population, the whole nine yards. It's just a complete demographic of this area that we should be working in. And being all in is what that entails. Getting out, serving. There'll be different events coming up soon. October, we do the trunk or treat at the outpost. That'll be a great night. We had 8-10 cars last year. It'd be wonderful to have this whole parking lot full because I bill it as a safe place for people to go with their kids. And it is. What better thing to do? That's an outreach. It's on Halloween. Who cares? It's an outreach for the church. Oh, y'all do this. Look, one thing I found during that go weekend, when churches come in here, they say, I've never been down this road before. Kids told me that. I never knew this building was here. The facility you have over there shows this church is all in. But are the people in this church all in with sharing the gospel, with seeing it work? It takes a lot of work to keep that thing going, just like it takes a lot of work for that man to keep this going. It takes a lot of work for Brother Ernie to get together the music. It takes a lot of work for that team to get up and go to Peru. It takes a lot of work for us all to get up in the mornings, period, go to work or go to school and not, or just sit at the breakfast table and talk about, this is what I read in my devotion this morning. It's being all in. So as we come to that time of close, and I want you to think for the invitation, and Brother Ernie starts to come. Are we all in? Are you all in? Are you set on what God wants you to do? We can live our life wide open if we want to and think that we've done everything He wants us to do, but it may not be everything. What are we open to? Listening for that call. Let's pray. Father God, I just ask that You would show us this morning, Lord, the things that You want us to do. Help us to be all in. Help us, show us, Lord, are we lukewarm and just on the fence? Or are we cold to You? Are we hot for You? Lord, only You can show us. We ask that You would speak to each of us this morning, that You would work in and through each of us, Lord. And as we're praying and asking You, Lord, we ask that You also not forget about those that we have sick. Haley, Lord, please touch her. And Father, help her because she is all in. She's a good example of all in. Father, we just ask that as we move into this invitation time, that you would open our eyes, that you would show us. These altars are open. Brother Larry will be up here at the front. I'll be up here as we sing. Father, we just ask that you would work in us and through us, Father, because we love you and we need to be giving you our all. In Jesus' name, amen.